Okay, we're starting at the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Rabbi, new Mishnah, new Perek, Perek Chi. Now we're going to get into a petach for a neder, right? Canceling, how do you cancel a neder? So different issues about it. Rabbi Lezer Omer, putchim la'adam b'chvod avi v'imo. Okay, for all those parents, you'll appreciate this. Okay, there's a few different things what this means. Okay, so it means basically, if you say, according to the Ran, okay, we're going to see two different interpretations, and then I'll bring up one of the Rambam. I meant to bring the Perush HaMishnah of the Rambam, but somehow left it at home. Anyway, I'll quote it to you. So the first two interpretations of the Ran go like this. We can even read it inside. The top of the Ran right here, She'omrim lo, ilu hayita yodea shemivazin avicha v'imecha, al sha'ata kal b'nidarim, right? Had you known that your parents would be embarrassed by it, ukedam ridan dekaru l'rishia bar tzadik or rishia bar rishia. Okay, in other words, if someone's a Rasha, even if his parents are tzaddikim, they end up being called Rishaim because it's an embarrassment to them. Okay, klum hayita noder. So if you say to someone, did you realize how embarrassing this would be for your parents? And if that's the case, so you can say that to someone and then he'll say, oh yeah, I didn't realize, and we'll be poteach his neder, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Lashon Acher, the Ran says, I'm continuing in the Ran, She'yomru she'ata lamadita mehem, she'athem is also libinitarim, right? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. If the kid did it, where did he learn it from? He must have learned it from his parents. Okay, so not just that it's embarrassing that your kids do this, but more so that it's embarrassing that you must have behaved that way. Okay, so according to those two interpretations, right, basically we're saying had you realized, you would have embarrassed your parents either because they're embarrassed to have a son like this or because it reflects poorly on them. Okay, would you have done it? And you can be poteach but neder according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, by the way, I didn't read the next two words, but the next two words are chachamim osrim. Chachamim say this is not a good petach for a neder. Okay, we're going to get to why in a little while. The Rambam has a different way of understanding it, and he says that if your parents get upset with the child for making the neder, then it doesn't even need hatarat nederim. It's already like as if it doesn't exist. Okay, which is very different, right? It's not here. It's saying that you go to a right. The chacham will be matir your neder based on this. And in fact, it even seems to indicate that if you go to a chacham and say, "I really want to cancel my neder," and then the chacham is trying to figure out a way out, he'll suggest, well, maybe, you know, could it be that if you heard your parent, if you knew your parents would be so embarrassed by this, you wouldn't have done it? Whereas the Rambam says, if your parents are embarrassed by this or upset by this, then that already is like, they can cancel your neder, basically, by being so angry you did this.
Is there any other instance like that?
Where a neder gets canceled without right, so not generally.
You already see that a father can be mayfair of daughters.
Right, so that's father-daughter. That's the only case. But this is different because this is even a son.
Any parent for any child.
Right, any parent for any child. Okay?
And it's that they can mayfair or it automatically? Like, does
if they, if they're upset that their kid made this neder, then it's canceled. That's why I'm sorry I didn't bring the words of the Rambam. I meant to bring it with me.
Desire of the child.
Right. Right. Very interesting. Okay? Right. So then, first of all, you don't even need the child in the picture, and you don't need the chacham in the picture. It's a totally different situation that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, according to this. By the way, chachamim osrim, we pass on like chachamim. So this doesn't work, actually. Okay? But Rabbi Eliezer does say you could do it. I don't know why you're saying, phew, yeah, for kids it's bad. For you, it's great, right? You could have power over your child. That's true. You're still a child also. Right. Right, he doesn't describe it. It doesn't say what a child means. It says actually potchim la'adam b'chvod aviv imo, which seems like any person, not necessarily a minor. It certainly doesn't sound like a minor.
Right.
And the Rambam's interpretation is a little off bit, right? It's somewhat radical and harder to understand. But anyway, chachamim osrim, but he does, that is the Rambam's interpretation for Rabbi Lezer's opinion.
You can also take it a step farther, which what if the person wants to be like a nazir? And what if he wants to continue with his neder, even though
the parents
are
unhappy with it,
right? Then what happens?
Right, so according to this, the parents really cancel it out.
Yeah.
But the parents have power to stop their child from doing something they don't want to do. Although I guess, again, so what does it mean? You can still be a nazir even if they cancel your what does it mean? Right, you probably can't bring the korbanot, but if you want to not drink wine and no one can stop you from doing that. But the point is, here the point is really, is your neder canceled just because your parents are upset with what you did? It's a very radical interpretation, but worth noting. Amar Rabbi Tzadok. Now it's a little bit confusing exactly what the back and forth is here. Okay, Amar Rabbi Tzadok. Ad shepotchim lo b'chvod aviv v'imo, yiftchu lo b'chvod ha'makom. Okay, this seems... Okay, I'm going to give two ways of reading this. Either he's saying, if you can do b'chvod aviv v'imo, then you can also do b'chvod ha'makom. This actually references the concept that there's three shutafim ba'adam, right? His parents and God. And if you can do it b'chvod aviv v'imo, then you can also do it b'chvod ha'makom. That if God, you know, again, how would you say it, right? In the Rama, it would be very simple. If God's upset with your neder, then there's no neder, right? Which obviously would be cancel many, many, many nedarim, okay? Which is what we're going to see the next line is, okay, the retort to Rabbi Tzadok. The other way of reading it is, you know, you could go to a chacham, and the chacham will say, well, had you known that God would be embarrassed, but now obviously God doesn't get embarrassed, but, you know, there would be a zulzul lechvon ha'makom. If you did this neder, would you have done it? And then the guy says, oh, no, I never would have done that. Okay? That's what Rabbi Tzadok says. This is one way of reading it. Ani, did you want to add something?
Well, I'm just thinking that, I guess I'm thinking modern times, but like if you see this a lot where kids decide to become more dutty than their parents,
mm-hmm.
and they take on certain obligations
right.
and that the parents find very upsetting.
But they might not know about this.
No, but...
Right, so you're saying that a kid who becomes more religious than his parents and the parents are upset about it, in a sense, if the kid takes on all these things, according to Rabbi Lezer, again, we don't paskin
right,
that
right.
way, but according to Rabbi Lezer, according to the way the Rambam, and again, it's the Rambam's interpretation of Rabbi Lezer. It's not the pshat of Rabbi Lezer, or certainly not the way the Ram goes with it. Right, the Ram gives the focus all on the kid. As just a petach, if you had known your parents would have been so angry, would you have done this? But here we're talking about... The Rambam's reading of Rabbi Lazar is that the parents can just cancel it. But again, what's the mashmud of them canceling it? It means that the kid could do whatever he wants still. It's just there's no neder. The neder is canceled, but it doesn't mean the kid has to stop what he's doing. So it's also, it's a different comparison.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm very upset that Rabbi Tzadok said this.
Oh, so wait. Let me give you the two interpretations of Rabbi Tzadok,
okay?
So one is to say, if that's the case, then you could be potach b'chvod ha'makom, and then to which they respond... Im kein ein nedarim. In other words, according to that, there is no such neder, because obviously you can always be potach petach that God's, and God's always angry about nedarim that are inappropriate, you know, and basically that would cancel nedarim b'chal, although we're going to see, the Gemara has different interpretations, what does it mean, im kein ein nedarim, so we're going to see in a minute. But that's like the simple pshat. Another way of reading it is that Rabbi Tzadok is being sarcastic, and he's saying, if you want to be potach b'chvod aviv v'imo, then you could take that even farther and say b'chvod ha'makom. And then there's not going to be any nedarim at all. And his whole line is a question that ends with im kein ein nedarim. And that it's more of a retort to Rabbi Lezer.
That makes much more
okay.
sense. because if God didn't want people to make nedarim, he wouldn't have put that part in the Torah about...
It's true that... Okay, so then I have a lot of things to say about that line. That doesn't necessarily, just because people do things, sometimes, right, you can even take, I'll give you a different example, the Mishkan, okay? God gave us a commandment to build the Mishkan. Some people say that it's all b'dieved, and it's only because people, and that it came, right, the Cheda Egel is right in the middle, and there's a whole machloket, Ein Mukdamu Mukhar B'Torah, or Yesh Mukdamu Mukhar B'Torah, and was the commandment for the Mishkan given before the Egel, or was the commandment of the Mishkan given because of the Egel? And that it's not according to the right order, and that really the Egel happened, and because of that, God saw they needed some physical, right? God didn't need to be in a physical place, but people needed it, and he... So you could say the same thing about Nedarim. Nedarim are in the Torah because people have a natural tendency to make Nedarim. It doesn't mean it's a good thing, right? We had the whole discussion. Is it a good thing? Is it not a good thing? So according to the guy who says, it's Rabbi Natan, right? That it's a bad thing. It's ki'ilu banav hamav, kaimo ki'ilu krivala korban. It's a bad thing. But why is it in the Torah? Because you know, people are going to do it anyway, so you have to deal with it.
But it's an acceptable thing. I mean, God didn't do that with murder. Like there's no...
Yes, it's true. Well, then God says, if you're going to say it, well, you have to keep it. You know, lo yachel dvaro. If you're going to say something, well, then keep to what you say.
But he also gave you a way out.
Right, he also gave us a way out. So it's a way of relating to it. It doesn't mean that God thought it was a good thing. And it also depends maybe on what kind of neder. So, but yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of different ways to read this, and different, and there's clearly different interpretation to whether you can do it, can't do it. We're going to see also Machloka Rav and Abaye about what exactly this means. Im kein ein nedarim. For what reason would nedarim not work according to this logic? Okay, another situation. Oh, so now that's so we see Rav Elazar and Chachamim are cholek. Im potchim l'adam b'chvod aviv imo. Can you be potach petach with this or not? But modim chachamim leRabbi Elazar b'davar shebeino leben aviv imo shepotchim lo b'chvod aviv imo. If he would have taken a neder that affected his parents, like my parents can never get any benefit from my nechassim, my property, and then I go to the chacham, I said, I want to get rid of this neder, so the chacham can say, well, did you realize that your parents were going to be so upset? Oh, had I realized, of course, I don't know why he didn't realize, but in this case, since it clearly affects the parents, okay, we're going to allow this vota vivimo. Again, depending on, okay, what we're going to see soon is this logic of im kein ein nedarim, which basically supports Chachamim's opinion, is going to eventually, we're going to see the two different interpretations, we're going to have to see why Ben Avivi Imo, depending on what interpretation we go by, why it would be different in that case. So we have to hold off for a minute. We'll see that when we get to the Gemara, or a few minutes. Ve'odam Rabbi Elazar, another situation that they have a machloket, potchim binolad. What is nolad? Nolad is something that didn't exist at the time of the neder, but yet now it exists. So can the Chacham say, had you known this was going to happen down the road, would you have taken your neder? Okay, so Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, no problem. If something new comes up, we're going to see a few examples now in the Mishnah, you can do that. V'chachamim osrim. Chachamim say you can't. Now, there's a machloket among the Mefarshim, or there's opinions about that when he says you can't be potach benolad, chachamim, which we hold that way, but they don't necessarily say, there's two different ways you go to a chacham, okay? One is called a petach, where you say, had you known this, would you have done it? And the other is charata, which is regret. You say, I knew all this all in the beginning, and I would have done it anyway, but at this point, I regret what I did. Okay, that's different than a petach. So some of the Mefarshim explain that the Chachamim say, Ein potchim b'nolad is only a petach, but not charata. The petach is we have to go back to what you were thinking at the time of the neder. Now, the assumption is at the time of the neder, you're not thinking about some unexpected thing that might happen down the road. You're only thinking about things that are guaranteed to happen or likely to happen. Whereas charata is the way I'm feeling right now, presently, 2 years after I took my neder, let's say. And if something new came up, then I'm allowed to do charata on that new thing. I just can't do a petach on something new because the whole idea is, what would you have been thinking at the time? And if you say, had you known there was an outside chance that something would happen, you say, well, you know, it's unrealistic, at least according to Chachamim, that, you know, you can't go back in time to something in the future. Right? You can't say, had I known then that this thing would have been created, but this thing was so not likely created that you can't say that I would have thought about it at the time. So we're going to see some examples. Ketzad. Amar konam she'ani nehene le'ish ploni. I will not get any benefit out of this person. V'nasa sofer. And he became a sofer, and I needed him. He was the only sofer in the city. Right, and I needed him to write up something for me. O shahaya mesiat bino, or the guy was marrying off his son and invited the entire community to his wedding. The assumption here, by the way, must be that he took a neder for a period of time, and he didn't expect that the guy was going to marry off his son within that period of time. Okay, and therefore, right, you understand now? So the question is, if you had said from the beginning, had you realized this guy was going to become a sofer, but like, who would have thought this guy was going to become a sofer? That wasn't in my consciousness, or he would marry off his son Dafka this year when I took my neder. Okay, so that's the where Chachamim say we can't do a petach in this case. However, like I said, some of the Mefarshim would say charata would work though. You would say, oh, I regret it now because look what happened, and I want to go to his wedding because everyone's going. Ba'amar ilu hayiti yodash shuhuna asas sofer oshi hayam esiet bino b'karav lo hayiti noder. Okay, and that's the case where Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar disagree. Konam labayit zesh ani nechnas, and I will never go into this house. V'nasa beit hakneset, and it turns out they built a shul there. Amar ilu hayiti yodash shuhuna asas beit kneset lo hayiti noder. So again, Rabbi Elazar matir, b'Chachamim osrim. Okay, in that case, interesting, right? You can't go into the shul. You made a neder, and you can't go into the shul. Now, again, there's a machloket. So like I said, number one, the mefreshim say, or some of the mefreshim say, this is only a petach, this isn't charata. So you could still use the tool of charata. Okay? In addition, there's a... Left my mind what I wanted to say. One second. There's one other thing. Oh, right. A lot of the mefreshim talk about that this is all, if you go to the chacham to be matir your neder, the chacham raises possibilities for you, right? Could you, you know, could it be that you embarrassed your parents by this and therefore, you know, had you have known that, you would have this? Or could you have known that this, that all these things are usher for the chacham to be poter? But if you yourself came with that petach and said, you know, I made this neder and it totally embarrassed my parents, or I made this neder and this guy started marrying off his child, or, you know, and you came with it by yourself, then it's okay. It's just the chacham can't start suggesting, okay, this comes up in all different situations. For example, there's a whole thing about toanim li yatom. If a yatom comes to court and he doesn't know what to claim for himself, the court can make a claim for him. The court can come and say, you know, could you say this and make up a claim that might not even necessarily be true, but it's a way that people could use that kind of a claim in court. So they make that claim for the yatom. Okay, so here also, when you go to a chacham, he makes up, you know, reasons for you. And then it's like the power of suggestion. You say, oh, yeah, right, that's good. You're right. It did embarrass my parents or, you know, something like that. But, so there's a difference that some of the mefreshim say this mishnah is only dealing with what the chacham can raise possibilities for you. If you come on your own volition and say, I got my parents really upset by this neder and I want to get rid of it, then, you know, and had I realized it would have upset them, then you're allowed to, even according to Chachamim. It's only that the Chacham can't suggest it. So, again, this Mishnah has, like many other Mishnah, we've learned many different ways of reading it and depending on the situation and how the Mefreshim understand what exactly the situation is that it's discussing.
Michelle, to me, this isn't business. I'll tell you what I'm thinking specifically. I'm going to use the diamond business. I don't know if it's still true, but I'll just use an example. Where at least it used to be that your word was rude.
Handshake.
Yeah.
Right. Know, like
and you say to somebody, oh, I heard that you're getting diamonds and in 6 months. I'm going to buy those diamonds. And then you find out that the diamonds are not the quality that they were. And so you say, well, you know.
Right. Would it be the same thing halachically? Right. It's a good question. I think there's a lot of logic to that. I don't know how it works in the time business, whether they say that that's the case
and whether that works.
But
businesses that, like, your word.
Right, your word is everything, and then even a contract. You have a contract, and then it's not exactly what... What?
It's less of a vow than
it's a written contract, I think.
Right, a written contract.
It's a little different.
So you're saying a contract is different.
Right, a contract would be different because it's written...
No,
right, but again, what if what you asked for isn't exactly, and you didn't define it exactly, the quality of the diamond, let's say, in your star? I'm not sure if it's all about word. In other words, that's about a commitment, and then that's like we saw before, where you sold something, right, and then he brought you said buy it, and then he brings you the aliyah, or, you know, it's not clear whether that was what you meant by your agreement, or it wasn't what you meant by your agreement. In other words, what did you include? What quality diamonds?
But I'm just like thinking that it seems very straightforward, but the implications are tremendous.
Yes. Right, they are tremendous.
Not only that, but, you know, on the one hand, the chacham, they want to make it so difficult to get out of a neder that you want to
so that you don't take it in the first place. On the other hand, once you take a neder, they want to help you get out of it. Right. Right. It's. I think that's what the struggle is here. And maybe that's why there's different opinions about how lenient we're going to be about being matir nedarim, because... We don't want people to take nedarim. We want to deter them, so we want to make it tough for them. On the other hand, once they're in a neder, we want to help them to get out of it. So it's a struggle, and it's a balance between trying to balance those two issues. And again, we've talked about that there's different approaches to nedarim. Some people actually thought it was a positive thing. We've been talking more along the Rabbi Natan view, that it's a very negative thing, but not everybody agree. We saw that in the beginning of the Masechet. Some people say, if you make a neder and you keep it, that's great. That's amazing. You know, you make a commitment and you keep to your word, and we respect that. So There's a lot, and that's maybe why there's so many different interpretations about how to read these. Is where do you side on all these things? How lenient are we going to make it? That's why some of the Mefarshim say, no, it's not Petach and not Charata, not anything, right? And some say, no, no, no. Petach, no, but Charata, yes. You know, it's all a matter of what the semantics, how you do it. But you can do it because we want to let you get out of it. And the others are like, no, no, no. We want to make it hard for you to get out of it, so we're not going to let you. So there's all different, it's like anything. When you have, when you read a text, you're affected by your life viewpoint. So when the commentaries read the text here, they were affected by their view on Nidareen, how they viewed it and what they thought it should be. So if you thought you shouldn't be able to get out of it too easily, well, they're going to say, here, look, they don't allow it. They don't allow it in any case, right? Not Petach, not Charata, you can't get out of it. But if their viewpoint was, we want to help you get out of Nidareen, then you're going to read this in a more lenient way.
You could see it as undermining good things, though. Let's say somebody takes a wonderful neder.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have, it would be nice if the Chachamim supported you. Like, you can't get out of your wonderful neder. It's both ways.
Right. Right. Well, again, why would you want to be getting out of it? Obviously, this is a case where the guy wants to get out of it. Remember, Petach is only, except if you take the Rambam's viewpoint, right? The Rambam's viewpoint, if the parent's upset about it, then, you know, your neder's gone. But that, like I said, it's a bit of an extreme opinion, and generally we're talking here about someone who goes to a Chacham himself to matir his neder.
What
he wants to get out of it.
Or being an alcoholic, you know, like that's
right. Right, right. So then, exactly, if you want to stop and you've sworn off of wine, and yet, you know, you come here and the Chacham, should he help you or shouldn't he help you? Right, and maybe that's part of the reason why you have to go to someone else to do it. Like generally, we don't allow you to be matir your own neder. That's not generally what happens. You actually have to go to somebody else, and that's also to complicate the procedure, to make it so it's not kal be'enecha, to just do whatever you want. Okay, Gemara. My ein nedarim. Okay, now we want to go back to this line that we saw. Okay, remember the line? So, Rabbi Lezer said, potchim b'chvod aviv imo, v'chachamim osrim. Then Rabbi Tzadok said, again, it wasn't clear how he meant it, but either these words are his words or these words are the retort to him, which is, at potchim b'chvod aviv imo, t'chula b'chvod amakom, im kein ein nedarim. Right? If we already can allow k'vod aviv imo, we should allow k'vod amakom. And if that's the case, whether he says it or they respond back to him, and as he said, or yeah, you could be potach k'vod amakom, and they say, what are you talking about? Ein nedarim. Okay. So now, what does it mean? Ein nedarim. Amar Abaye, im ken ein nedarim nitarim yafeh. Abaye says this means that this isn't a good way to get rid of nedarim. Why? Okay. Now we had this concept before, which is if a chacham. You go to a chacham and he says, oh, you know, would you have done your neder had you realized how upset it would have gotten God? Okay? And you say, oh, yeah, I never would have. Now, that's not a real hatara. Why? We need to make sure that you're serious and you mean what you say. Now, no one in their right mind would go to a chacham and say, oh, I don't care if God's angry. Right? I don't care if this was, you know, zulzul b'chvod ha-makom, lo chpatli. Right? No one's ever going to say that. So, obviously, the only answer anyone could say at that point is, yeah, sure, I never would have done it. But that doesn't mean that that's really what they mean. Okay? Because to do she'elat chacham, you have to really mean what you're saying. And you can't possibly really mean that. And the jump from here is, you can't possibly mean it by kvod aviv imo either. Okay? Right? If no one would say, had you realized you were going to get your parents angry, would you have done this? Okay? And that's the bit, and this is a very interesting thing. In the end, that according to Abaye, that's the base of the machloka between Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim. Rabbi Lezer thinks there's a difference between kvod ha-makom and kvod aviv imo. In other words, he says, no, if someone goes and says, would you, you know, you can imagine this with maybe with yourselves or with your kids, you know, would you have done this had you gotten your parents so upset? And the man said, yeah, you know, like, my parents are important to me, but, you know, I have my life and this is... So, according to Rabbi Lezer, someone could, in theory, say no to that question. But to kvod ha-makom, they would never say no. Whereas Chachamim say, look at it all the same. No one would say it to kvod aviv imo, no one would say it to kvod ha-makom. Now, we're going to see later on that you would say it about certain mitzvot. And then you have to distinguish why is kvod aviv imo different from other mitzvot. Like a regular mitzvah, someone might say, yeah, I might have gone against a regular mitzvah. But kvod Hashem, right, kvod ha-makom would be in a different category. And then also, according to Chachamim, kvod aviv imo is in a different category. So that's Abaye's reasoning. He says there's no good hatarat nedarim because you can't be sure that the person's being honest. V'Rav Amar, im ken, ein nedarim nishalim l'chacham. What are people going to say? I don't even need to go to a chacham for this because it's so obvious, right? If I did this neder and it's zilzul b'kvod hamakom, which is basically any neder, right? Or any neder could in theory upset your parents, then ain't nederin nishalim l'chacham. In other words, I don't even need to go to a chacham. It's so obvious. What do I need a chacham to matcher my neder? And obviously, we don't want people doing that because you're supposed to go to a chacham. Now, where do they learn this from? You can look in here, Rashi quotes it. I'm sure the Ram probably also quotes it, but I see it right now in Rashi. Let's just read it. Ein nederim nishalim l'chacham, sh'omer b'libo mali leilech etzal chacham, lo tzrichna, I don't need to, de vaday mutarhu, de kol kach hana'ehu, kol kach, I'm trying to figure out how that word works, hana'ehu mitirohu ba'atzmo. Okay, de kol, I don't know what that word means there, but umitirohu batzmo. Now, does he'll matur it himself? Now, what's the problem with maturing your neder yourself? Hatoram ha lo yachel dvaro. Now, what does this mean, lo yachel dvaro? They do a play on words here. Yachel means yachalel, right? Don't go against your word. But yachel also means mochel, that someone could be mochel your neder. So now, hu eino mochel aval acherim mochalim lo. So lo yachel dvaro means don't go against your word, right? But it also means don't be mochel your word. You can't be mochel your word, but someone else could be mochel your word for you. Okay, so there you see that from a drashat that you can't be mochel your neder. Obviously, again, like we've seen before, it's not that they really learn it from there, it's an asmachta to a pasuk, right? The connector. Tanan. Umodim chachamim. Now we're going to try to see how Abai and Rebbe work with the words of the Mishnah. Umodim chachamim le Rabbi Lezer. Remember these words in the Mishnah? Chachamim agree with Rabbi Lezer. I promise we get back to these. B'davar shebeino leben aviv imo, shepatchim lebechvod aviv imo. If it's an issue that's between a neder, that's between you and your parents, then you're allowed to matir it. Bishlama la baed amar imken einidarim nitarim yafet. Hacha kevandi ichatzafle, ha ichatzafle. This guy already showed what? What's the whole issue? We assume that a person is not going to be chatzuf enough, I'm going to use the words of the Gemara, right? Chutzpedik enough to go and say, I'm going to go against what my parents say, I don't care, right? It doesn't bother me that they're upset. And therefore, since he could, we think he's brazen enough to do that, then he would also say that if the chacham says, do you care that your parents, right? So this guy, since he already was chutzpedik enough to make a neder against his parents and say, I'm not letting you benefit from any of my property, this guy already showed that he's got chutzpah, right? And he doesn't care what anybody says. He's just going to do his own thing. So therefore, when you come and you ask him, had you realized it would have upset your parents? And he says, yeah, had I realized I never would have said this, we believe him. We don't think he's just saying the words because I'm a chacham and he wouldn't be embarrassed, you know, he'd be embarrassed to say it in front of me. That, right? He's shown he's chutzpahdik. Therefore, we can assume he would be chutzpahdik. And therefore, if he says, I really feel bad about it, then we'll believe him. Okay, because right, remember, the whole thing of Abai was there's zero chance for him to say anything else. This guy, we think there's 50-50 chance what he can say, because he's already shown to be chutzpah. Ela l'rava da'amar, im kein ein nederim nishalim l'chacham, hacham ay potchim. But if, according to Chachami, according to Rava, right, what is this? Anyone will just be shoal on any neder, right? So hacha my potchim. So how can you be poteach here? The guy will just say, you know, oh well, if I could be poteach this kind of neder, I could be poteach any neder. So amre kevan de kol nidre lo sagi lahon de lav chacham hachanami potchim. What do they say here? We allow it because this isn't like any other case. This is a very unique case. It's a case where we're going to be poteach bechvod aviv imo because it was a neder between him and his parents. Therefore, we're not going to necessarily jump to conclusions that any neder you could be matir this way. Now, let's just follow Rava and let's explain. Rava said, if I allow you to matir any neder by saying, had you realized your parents would have been upset with you, right, again, let's forget the Rambam for right now, had you realized your parents would have been embarrassed by you, or right, it would have reflected poorly on them, then would you have made this neder? And I say, oh no, I never would have. Then I can apply that to any neder in the world. In which case, I'll eventually, after I've done this once or twice, I'll say, oh, you know, I don't even need to go to the chacham. I know the answer to my question. I know he'll just matir it that way. So any neder I take, I'll just matir that way. But if we only allow it in a particular situation where it related to his father and mother, and then we allow him to be potach with the father and mother, then we're already not concerned that he's going to apply this to every other neder, because he knows that any other neder he makes, he has to go to a chacham. So he's not going to jump to conclusions that, oh, well, since I did this way, I could do this in all the other cases. Okay? And therefore, we can explain it even according to Rava. Okay? So according to Abaye, we allow it because we're not worried that this guy will not be chatzuf. Since he already was proven to be chatzuf, he might be chatzuf here, and therefore we can take his words seriously when he says it, and we know he's being truthful. And according to Rava, this is a unique case, right, between Aviv v'Imo, and therefore we're going to allow the petach to be between Aviv v'Imo, but he knows, and he won't jump to conclusions in any other neder case. Okay. Next part of the Mishnah. Va'onam Rabbi Eliezer, potchim benolad. My time at Rabbi Eliezer, why does he say that you can be potach benolad? Here we're going to learn it from the Torah. Amar Rav Chista, de Amar Kra, ki metu kol ha'anashim. V'hamita denolad hu, mikan shepotchim benolad. Okay, we need some information here. Some of it we actually learned already. If you remember, Moshe, Rabbeinu, he leaves, what happens? He sees the Mitzri hitting the Jew, he kills the Mitzri. Then he sees two people, Nitzim, right? They were fighting. And then what does he do? He goes, right? He goes to get involved, and then they say, what you're going to do like you did to the Mitzri, right? And he runs away, basically, okay? He says, oh my God, everybody knows, I got to run away. He runs away. He goes to Yitro, and he meets Zipporah, and he wants to marry her. And it says there, Vayoel Moshe, right? I forgot where that pasuk is. Vayom Moshe Lashevet. 1 second.
419.
Thank you. Okay, so Vayelech Moshe Vayashav al Yeter Chotno Vayom Alo Achan Vashuv al Achai. No. I want the pasuk before the earlier pasuk. Vayom Moshe, where they learn that he took a neder. 1 second. Shayar Oed Son Yitro. No, it's before that. So here. Okay. So he says, "Vayom Moshe l'shevet etayish, vayitain et zipporah bito l'Moshe." Okay, and we learned already in some other context that Vayoel is lashon Allah. What's an Allah? It comes up by the klalot and the brachot, right? It's a shvuah. Okay, it comes up in the Torah a bunch of times. Allah is a shvuah. So we say here that Moshe swore to Yitro that he would l'shevet etayish, that he would stay. They say the concern was that Yitro thought if he was going to marry Tzipora, maybe like he'd get up and leave or something and leave with Tzipora. So he had to make a promise, a commitment, that he was going to stay. Now, obviously, we know he goes back to Mitzrayim. So if he swore he was going to stay, how could he now go back to Mitzrayim? So now what do they say? Oh, when does he get up to go to Mitzrayim? Okay, that's in 419. What does it say? Right? Vayom Hashem Moshe b'Midyan, lech shuv Mitzrayim, okay? So that's how he broke the shvuah, right? Because he took the shvuah, but now, or let's assume shvuah and neder are interchangeable here, right? Because it was a shvuah. So now, what do we say? Why? Because of all the people died. And isn't Mita Nolad? Now, why is Mita Nolad? What, everyone's about to, right? It sounds funny. Mita is Nolad, right? But the fact that they died is considered nolab. Why? Why wouldn't you say everybody's going to die? So why would you think? But the issue is that what? That you didn't anticipate, right? Someone says, well, you don't anticipate that your enemies are going to die in your lifetime necessarily, right? It's not, just because they're going to die eventually, doesn't mean they're going to die anytime soon. So, mita is nolab, and here, because metu kol anashim, that was, right, that was God's petach. God gave him a petach to break his shvuah. It's a little difficult to hear with the pshat because I specifically didn't read you the pasuk before that. Okay, what's the pasuk before that? Vayelech Moshe vayashav al yeter chotno, vayomer la elchana vashuva elachai asher b'mitzrayim, vayareho odam chayim. Okay, says to Yitro, I'm going to go to see my brothers and see if they're still alive. Vayom Yitro l'Moshe, lech l'shalom. And Yitro already gives him the go-ahead, which means Yitro kind of broke the neder or the shvuah. But anyway, they use this in any case as a proof.
Do your in-laws have the same status as your parents?
No.
No. If it embarrasses your
but here, right.
Would I marry my daughter too?
Right. But here it's the opposite, right? Because Yitro like needed it. Right. Yitro needed it. So now, we're going to have a little discussion about this. So Rabbanan, Even though they don't relate to that, okay? They kind of ignore that pasuk, that Yitro gave him permission. They're saying the real thing that allowed this neder to be, you know, open up again or canceled out, the shvuah he made, was because they died. And that's what God tells him. And as God says, Kim Yitro kol anashim, shem vachshim et nafshecha, and therefore that shouldn't have been anticipated. Here we see potchim benolad. Rabbanan, my time are you. Now, Rabbanan who say you can't be potech benola, what's their reason? How do they read this? Kasavre, han hu mi maitu? Who said these people died, right? Who are the people who were mevakshim et nafshecha? The two people who were fighting, right? Who are those two people? Datan Naviram. How do we know that? Vaha amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Remember, it doesn't say it. It says shnei anashim nitzim. But this is the, I forget how they call it, the law of diminishing
characters,
right? In the Midrash, right? They always try to say, if we can connect these people, that they're not different people, then let's say they're all the same. So, kol makom shenemar nitzim vin nitzavim, einan ela datam v'aviram. Okay, so what do we see? That these same people, datam v'aviram, appear again, right? They resurface. They're not dead now. How do we know they're not dead? Because in Perek Hey, Pasuk Kaf, Moshe comes out after he speaks to, Moshe and Aaron come out after they speak to Paro. And then what does Paro say? Remember, we're going to make you work harder now, right? We're not going to even give you the teben, and you're going to have to, right, you're going to have to make it yourselves. So by Yerusha Tre B'nei Yisrael Otam Be'ralimor, Lo Tegrumi Livnechem Devar Yom B'Yomo, right? They say, you can't do any less than you built before. And then Vayifgu Moshe et Aaron nitzavim lekratam betzeitam im beit Paro. These people approached Moshe as he was getting out of, as they were getting out of Paro. Vayomur alehem yere Hashem alehem v'yishpot asher v'ashem erechenu beinei Paro b'nei avadav latecher v'yadam lahargeni. And it's, what are you doing? Why'd you come? We don't need you. You made it much worse for us. So who are those people who were nitzavim? Must be the people who were nitzim. Right? It must be the same people. It's Datan and Aviram. So what do you see? They didn't actually die. So what does it mean? Meitu kol anashim. So ala amarish lakish, sheyardu minichsehem. Okay? They lost their money, basically. They were important people, and now they're no longer important people. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, kol adam she'en lo banim, chashuv kimet. Shenamar. Okay, so now we're going to see. Okay, we'll stop for a second before we go on. So where did we get to here? We showed Rabbi Lezer's opinion is based on Kimetu Kol Anashim, God Matir the Neder based on that. That's Nolad. Rabbanan say that's not Nolad because they didn't die. They were just Yorei Minichsehem. And that is something that could actually happen, right? That's much more common that would happen in Moshe's lifetime than death. So that could have been more, and that's why it's not Nolad at all. Okay, so now we're going to see, what does it mean? Okay, we're going to now have four cases where people are called dead when they're not actually dead. This is one of them. Yorei Minichasav. Okay, Yorei Minichsehem. Now we're going to see three other cases. We actually saw this sugya before. I don't recall where, but here, we'll see it in a second. In Avodah Zarah, Ayin Sham. No, it came up. It doesn't say it here, but it came up in some place that we learned before. So Rabbi Amar Yishuv ben Levi, kol adam she'en lo banim chashuv kemet. Shenemar, Hava li banim v'im ayin meta anochi. Who is that? Rachel. Okay, right? Rachel says, give me children. If not, I'm going to be dead. Okay, someone who doesn't have children can be considered dead. V'tanya arba'a chashuvim kemet, ani u'mitzara v'suma u'mi she'en lo banim. Okay, there's another braita. So we're going to see these are people who could be called dead. In other words, their lives are so difficult, such a hardship that it's considered like death. Okay, so one is not being able to bear children, which we know is a very difficult situation to be in. Another four people who were considered dead, ani, a poor person, that's Datan Naviram, who yardu minichsehem, a mitzora, okay, someone who has tzarat, a suma, someone who's blind, and someone who doesn't have children, like we saw. So now we're going to see proofs for each of these things. This is just another brighter, so they're going to they're going to repeat some of the proofs we already saw. Ani dechtiv ki meitu kol anashim, that's our proof for ani mitzora dechtiv al na tehi kemet. Okay, who's that? Miriam. Yafeh. Okay, so that's Miriam when she has sarat. So you see, it's like a being dead. Besuma dechtiv b'machshechim hoshivani kimetei olam. Where's that from? In Yana Diyama, from Echa. Okay? In the darkness, I was placed like the dead of the world. Okay, and the last one, not having children, which is Rachel. Okay.